WSJM News Now. This is the 5 o'clock news block on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM.
Brought to you by Special Light in Decatur and Benton Harbor. There's a good chance you've walked through a Special Light door when you go to a local restaurant, school, store, or plant. In the newsroom, I'm Andrew Green. The Black Lives Matter slogan will not be going on to Stadium Drive in St. Joseph or any other streets in St. Joe anytime soon. That's after the City Commission approved a different resolution last night. Commissioner Lynn Todman introduced a replacement and stressed the city must do something, even if it can't put a Black Lives Matter mural on the street.
We actually have to do something meaningful. As a city, if we're really committed to ensuring that Black Lives Matter, we have to walk the talk.
Her resolution called for St. Joseph High School students and others to work with commissioners on an alternative that followed plenty of comments that went mostly like this.
Our community needs us. When people cry out for help, you help them.
If the mural is an absolute no-go, let's start something else up, get it done.
The Black community is in a crisis, and we just need equality. We are afraid.
The commission does not yet have a time frame for something to get done. A bipartisan group of federal lawmakers held a press conference today to announce a new effort to approve a coronavirus relief bill. Congressman Fred Upton tells us his Problem Solvers Caucus has drafted a blueprint that could be adopted by congressional leaders to get negotiations back on track.
We have money for local units of government. We know that they've added expenses, and a lot of these communities are talking about layoffs. We're including money for our hospitals. They were pre-funded and don't necessarily have the resources for some of them even to stay afloat. We have more money for our educators.
The plan also includes $1,200 stimulus payments. Upton says whatever is approved in the end will have to be bipartisan. He says there's been positive reaction so far to the Problem Solvers proposal.
The Speaker of the House acknowledged publicly that we really should not be leaving and adjourning for the election until this thing gets done.
The Problem Solvers plan includes a series of automatic boosters that would kick in depending on the severity of the pandemic and whether a successful vaccination program is adopted by March. Upton says there's already talk. The Senate could do nothing and just wait to see what happens. He says that's not acceptable. The state of Michigan's coronavirus website now has a page that reports outbreak information by school building. Michigan Department of Health and Human Services spokesperson Lynn Sutphin tells us since schools started up again a few weeks, there have been some outbreaks.
There are various schools listed, K-12 as well as universities, colleges. Majority, a large amount of the cases are in those college-university settings, but we are seeing some in some K-12 buildings.
Sutphin says an outbreak is defined as the spread of two or more COVID cases that are not just within a household, but could have been spread within a school. If your school shows up on the list, she advises against firing off any angry messages to the administration.
This does not mean that the school has done anything incorrect, that they haven't followed their plan, that they aren't doing things that they should be doing. It just means that, you know, this is a very contagious virus that can spread very quickly.
None of the schools listed on the outbreak page as of today are in Southwest Michigan. Sutphin says the page will be updated each Monday, and parents with children in schools where they're have been COVID would be informed by the school already. This is just a new way for the public to stay on top of the situation. For the first time, the Michigan Secretary of State's office is recruiting election workers. Here's spokesperson Jake Rallo.
We've just broken 20,000, so we now have 20,000 election workers recruited. That's a pretty dramatic increase, I think, ahead of the August 4 primary. We're at about 6,000.
Rallo says they're still recruiting.
They are placing people with clerks across the state already.
He has anyone who wants to volunteer should contact their headquarters in Lansing. The owner of Rocket Arcade in South Haven was in Lansing today to stage a protest over the governor's refusal to let his business reopen. Ralph Lucius set up a pinball machine at the steps of the Michigan Capitol and questioned why other businesses were allowed to reopen for the summer, but others, like arcades, were forced to stay closed. State Representative Beth Griffin of Mattawan supports his cause.
He is a small business owner that has been, faithfully waiting and trying to be respectful of the process. It's been 6 months. He has a plan to keep everyone safe and to disinfect and all this, but the industry is completely being overlooked. And because the governor is still under the state of emergency, only she can fix that.
Lucius says via Rocket's Arcade's Facebook page that he's gone into debt. The bank has cut off his line of credit and all of his reserves are spent. He says he's been offered nothing by the governor other than false hopes. A Coloma native has started a fundraising campaign to reopen Deer Forest after the attraction closed several years ago amid a federal investigation. 36-year-old Blair Struble tells us he used to spend a lot of time at Deer Forest when he was a kid.
It was a magical place. It was somewhere where you could go and be close to the animals, and the storybook lane was just a very magical place.
Struble learned the 32-acre property is up for sale, and he came up with a plan to buy it and restore Deer Forest. He estimates it would cost $1 million.
I want to save as much as the original pieces, the props, the signs, everything that's salvageable, I absolutely want to keep. But there's a lot of work to be done. I mean, all of the roofing needs to be replaced. The plumbing needs to be brought up to code. As you can imagine, it's just been kind of sitting there for 3 years.
Struble launched a GoFundMe for the effort this week. He also started a Facebook page. He's open to suggestions from locals about how Deer Forest could be restored and says the positive reaction regarding his efforts so far has been overwhelming. We'll have a link to the GoFundMe campaign at WSJM.com. And Hartford Public Library staff are now settling into their new home. After about a year of construction, the brand new Arthur and Bonna Vanderlyn Community Center and Hartford Public Library is now open to the public on Church Street. Library Director Stephanie Daniels tells us it's a big step up from the old location on Franklin Street.
We have a tutoring room for students. We have a huge children's department sponsored by the Polk Hagen Fund. We have a wonderful large teen area where they can plug in their devices. We have a dry erase table that they can study at. We've got a separate computer lab that is just marvelous. And our new makerspace room where we have our 3D printer.
Daniel says the overall $2 million project was made possible by a $1.3 million donation from Bonna Vanderlyn, a $400,000 grant and fundraising.
It was our hope that we would be able to have this fine facility here and for the community.
Daniel says they're just about finished moving in. They had operated out of the old building since 1925. A dedication for the new facility is planned for October 18th. WSJM News Now continues with your Bloomberg Report. WSJM News Now continues. Hurricane Sally is not traveling very fast, but the effects of the storm are being felt across several states. ABC's Lionel Moyes has more.
Hurricane Sally is barely moving, traveling about 2 miles per hour. The Category 1 storm is now 105 miles south of Mobile, Alabama. It's expected to make landfall there in the morning. Four states now feeling the impact of the 400-mile-wide hurricane. Mobile, Biloxi, and Pensacola are under hurricane warnings. New Orleans is under a storm surge warning. Lionel Moyes, ABC News, Miami.
Joe Biden is tearing into President Trump for his reported remarks referring to fallen soldiers as suckers during a Tuesday campaign visit to the key battleground state of Florida. Biden said, quote, "Nowhere are his faults more glaring and more offensive, to me at least, than when it comes to his denigration of our service members, veterans, wounded warriors who have fallen." It marked Biden's latest reaction to remarks describing offensive comments by the president toward fallen or captured U.S. service members. The comments were sourced anonymously and first reported in The Atlantic. Trump has denied them, but many were confirmed independently by the Associated Press. A historic signing ceremony at the White House today. Israel, the United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain agreeing to normalize relations. The deal brokered by the United States. President Trump calling it the dawn of a new Middle East. ABC's Karen Travers is in Washington with more.
In front of several hundred people on the White House South Lawn, President Trump presided over a historic signing ceremony. Leaders from the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain each signing agreements to move toward full diplomatic relations with Israel.
Together, these agreements will serve as the foundation for a comprehensive peace across the entire region.
Critics say while these agreements are historic, it's incorrect to call it a peace deal because these nations are not at war. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
Dr. Anthony Fauci calls Vermont's ongoing efforts to control the coronavirus a model for the nation. The top infectious disease expert appeared on video at Governor Phil Scott's virus briefing today. Fauci said Vermont has emphasized wearing masks, avoiding crowds, and keeping physical distance. He says those measures work in small states along with states like New York, Texas, or California. Vermont has the lowest rate of positive tests for the coronavirus in the country and the lowest number of cases per capita. The state has conducted rapid testing and contact tracing of potentially infected individuals and continuing its gradual reopening. Vermont has recorded 1,700 total cases and 58 confirmed deaths. The city of Louisville has reached a $12 million settlement with the family of Breonna Taylor 6 months after she was fatally shot by police executing a no-knock search of her home. ABC's Ryan Burrow has more.
Not only will the family of Breonna Taylor receive $12 million, but the settlement includes reforms to the Louisville Metro Police Department, like an extension of records for police officer files, officer drug testing, and a housing credit program. But family attorney Benjamin Crump says,
"We still are demanding that Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron bring charges immediately against the police officers that murdered Breonna Taylor."
6 months after the shooting, no charges have been filed. Ryan Burrow, ABC News.
An Ohio high school has reversed the suspension of two football players who defied administrators by carrying flags that signal support for law enforcement at the start of a game. The Cincinnati Inquirer reports that the players for Ohio's Little Miami High School led their teammates in running onto the field at the home game on Friday, the 19th anniversary of 9/11. The school said on Monday it suspended the students but reversed the decision today. In a statement, the president of the school board said the school found the players' actions were not political but did show insubordination. A World Trade Organization panel has ruled that President Trump's tariffs on billions of dollars worth of Chinese goods are illegal. ABC's Mark Remillard reports it's unlikely to prompt a change, though, from the U.S.
The WHO ruled President Trump's trade tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods violate longstanding international trade rules. The Trump administration justified the tariffs, claiming China has engaged in intellectual property theft. But the WTO said the administration hasn't substantiated its claims that the goods hit with sanctions benefited from the alleged unfair Chinese practices. The ruling is unlikely to have an effect, though, as the U.S. can appeal the decision, but the WTO's appeals court is no longer functioning, largely because of Washington's refusal to accept new members. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
A new in-depth analysis of wrongful convictions is putting a spotlight on alarming rates of police and prosecutor misconduct. The National Registry of Exonerations spent more than 6 years examining the cases of 2,400 innocent people who were later exonerated. The group's report was released today. It found 54% were sent to prison because of intentional or negligent mistakes made by police, prosecutors, and other law enforcement officials. The report found that in general, the more severe the crime, the higher the rate of wrongdoing. The most common form of misconduct involved concealing evidence that could have cleared the defendant. That occurred in 44% of cases. And the air quality along the West Coast is finally expected to start clearing from all that wildfire smoke later this week. But for now, it's still unhealthy to go outside, and many are being told to stay indoors. So just how bad is it for people? Here's ABC's Alex Stone.
Those of us who live here on the West Coast have been living in a thick, smoky, ashy fog for over a week from L.A. to Seattle. Dr. Mark Nichols, chief of pulmonary allergy and critical care medicine at Stanford University, says it's extremely dangerous to be breathing this smoky air.
Based on the air quality today, that's like smoking 8 cigarettes a day. If you're just outdoors.
And the smoke is so bad, Alaska Airlines has suspended flights to Spokane and Portland. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
WSJM News Now continues with your weather forecast.